Well, greetings, everybody.
I just want to acknowledge 4th of July and for all the brave women and men who fought for freedom. And we see freedom just being threatened these days, so I just wanted to acknowledge that. So today, I have three primary scriptures and three primary questions to ask that I'm going to go through. I have many other supplementary scriptures. They're not all going to be on the overhead, but you can jot them down. But three primary ones. The first scripture is Matthew 9:35-38. I'll just go through them first so you can jot them down. Matthew 9:35-38. 2 Peter 2:19. That's 2 Peter 2:19. And then 2 Corinthians 3:17. 2 Corinthians 3:17. I'm going to start with Matthew 9:35-38, which reads, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers," some translations say laborers, "into his harvest field." The first question I want to ask is, what does it mean to labor unto the Lord? Second scripture, 2 Peter 2:19, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. Next question. What does living in bondage look and feel like? And then 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Third question, what does it look and feel like to live in freedom? If you're taking notes, the title of today is Free Labor. Laboring unto the Lord in complete freedom. Father God, I thank you for your word, for it is true. I thank you that you are true. I thank you that you have supremacy, whether we feel like it or not at times. You have supremacy, Father God. Your ways are perfect. Your spirit is truth. Your word is truth, Father God. And I thank you for your word so much. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father God, that's here right now with us. I thank you for preparing this word and for preparing our hearts and minds and ears to hear this word, Father God. I pray that your spirit allows us to experience you today, Father God. And above all, I ask that we are transformed, because we cannot meet with you and not be transformed, Father God. So I ask that we meet with you today and that your Holy Spirit does his work, that we may be transformed from the inside out. In Jesus' name. Okay. So what does it mean to labor unto the Lord? I looked up a definition, and for anyone that knows Taylor and I, we use the 1828 Merriam-Webster Dictionary. If you want to see how far we've diluted definitions, get yourself a copy. So, definition of laborers goes something like this. One who labors in a toilsome occupation, a man who does work that requires little skill, as distinguished from an artisan. When I read that, I got a little offended. I was like, really? No skills whatsoever? And I was thinking about it. So you hear the term sometimes, unskilled labor. And what does that mean? You're basically expecting a minimum wage. You're expecting to do something that doesn't require a lot of thought. And I was like, those are the people that are going to labor for your kingdom. And it makes a lot of sense. But then I was thinking about, this may not be true for everybody, but if you're in that type of job, you're probably not going to get super wealthy. And so I was relating it back to scripture, and you're going to have to give your whole life to that job to retire, if you will, probably past retirement. And so what does God call us? How does God call us? He doesn't require anything. He will use our skills. We all have skills, but he doesn't require it. And it's going to cost us our entire life, just like an unskilled job. It's going to cost you your entire life. What's the harvest? 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He requires that we don't have any skills, and everyone is fair game. What other key words in Matthew stand out? Preach the gospel of the kingdom. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. And what is the gospel of the kingdom? We should be demonstrating God's power. We should be preaching Christ's redeeming work in repentance. His power, his truth, his conviction, and ultimately his change. Baptism, both in the water and in the Holy Spirit. Prayer. Doesn't require us to be skilled. He tells us to preach the gospel. When we preach the gospel, we should expect to demonstrate God's power, to preach Christ's redeeming work, preach baptism, both in water and of the Holy Spirit, and pray. Pray. Other key words that stood out in terms of what does it mean to labor? Heal the sick and drive out evil spirits. All right, hopefully you got a good picture of what laboring means. So now I have a question of what does it look and feel like to live in bondage. 2 Peter 2:19 says that what we are overcome by, that is what we are enslaved by. The context of that verse had to do with, I believe, teaching and like weird kind of things that were coming from the pulpit, if you will, or teachers. People were getting confused, but I think it means anything, really. Anything that you're overcome by, that is what you're enslaved to. And I love the song we sang, that we're no longer slaves to sin. So, I'm going to tell a story. I don't know if this is true, but go with me. It's about how to catch wild hogs. And I don't know if anyone knows how to catch wild hogs without a rifle. However, just picture this, like this is a field. And there's just one bunch of wild hogs, and you know they congregate here at certain times. I would propose the following solution. For a week, put a bunch of food right here. Walk away. Do that every day, maybe 3 times a day. They'll get used to the food being there. And then maybe the next week, I'm good. Maybe the next week, you put up one single wall. Put more food. Day after day for another week. So now 2 weeks have gone by. Hogs are still eating. That's good, right? I propose you get a second wall. Again, feed them 3 times a day for a week. They'll keep coming back. However, we're 3 weeks in. I propose another wall. Feed them. They're going to keep coming. They can still get food and leave, right? A month in. Maybe you need a second person at this point, but someone puts the food in. But now, just imagine these were enclosed. You put the fourth wall. Freedom, gone. That's how you catch a wild hog. In case that's helpful for anybody. I was thinking about ending the sermon there, but I didn't think that would leave you with much. But what does it mean to us? What can we learn from this story and relate to our lives? See, I believe that once we come to Christ, we are set free, for we are free indeed. However, life happens. And one wall at a time. One wall at a time, our freedom's taken away. And we become slaves to that which we were overcome by. I would also propose that the hogs have no idea they're living in bondage. They're getting fed 3 meals a day. They're interacting with other people. They can roam, and other hogs, they can roam around as if they were free, but they have no idea that they're living in captivity. I don't know if that resonates to anybody, but they had a normal and then an abnormal that normalized. Does that make sense? They had a normal that became abnormal and then normalized. It happens one thing at a time. So when I was thinking about what does that to us, the first thing that came to my mind was sin. John 8:34. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. Galatians 5:19 to 21 says, now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warned you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm sure you know that holiness is an attribute of our Father, and so is jealousy. It's one of the few passages that says, for my name is jealous. It's one of the few passages in Scripture that actually refer to what God's name actually means. And thankfully, we have Jesus to wash us. But what jealousy really means in that context is when sin threatens a covenant relationship. God cannot commingle with sin. In a Bible study we were doing, the cherubims covered their faces with two of their wings because of the presence of God. We cannot tolerate sin in our lives because God cannot work and commingle with it. But we have Christ. There's good news. Now, a couple other things that popped up to me. Unclean lips. Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips. Idolatry. Do not turn to idols or make metal gods for yourselves. I am the Lord your God. Slothfulness. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor. It's in Proverbs. Pride. James 4:6, but he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Disobedience. Ephesians 5:6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Sexual immorality. Ephesians 5:5, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Others, quarreling and jealousy. It says, let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. These don't all happen at once. Just like the hog story, one wall at a time. These creep into our lives and start putting up walls. When I was thinking about others, guilt. Just feeling guilty. Knowledge. Colossians 2:8, see it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. There's a lot of knowledge and information in society these days, and it can get confusing, deciphering what's what. Never get confused with true knowledge as found in the Word of God. This one may surprise people. Disabilities. It says in Luke 13:11-13, and there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, woman, you are freed from your disability. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. Disabilities are not greater than our King. Fear. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Thank you, Jesus. Slander. According to Ephesians, this also quenches the Holy Spirit. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. Again, definitions. As a noun, it's defined as a false tale or report maliciously uttered, intending to injure the reputation of another by lessening him in the esteem of his fellow citizens, by exposing him to impeachment and punishment, or by impairing his means of living, defamation. As a verb, it means to defame, to injure by maliciously uttering a false report, respecting one, to tarnish or impair the reputation of one by false tales, maliciously told by or propagated. The font on this one's a bit small, but I feel like there's a lot of slander going on in society right now, and it cannot creep into our lives. Unforgiveness. Matthew 6:15 says, but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you yours. Bitterness. Acts 8:23, for I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Disappointment. How many times have you prayed for somebody? I haven't seen anything happen. Are you fired up to do it again? Or do you put up a wall? Unclean spirits. Deception. 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. I think it was Mike Rochelle. Hope you don't mind me quoting this. The thing about deception, you never know you're being deceived. But it could be confusing if Satan himself appears as an angel of light. Are there others? Probably. Can anyone think of any? I have a Sharpie and a blank sheet of paper if anyone has any that they want to bring forth. Because there will be a time of deliverance today. And I don't want to leave anything that's on anyone's heart to be untouched by God today. I'm okay with the awkward silence. We can wait. Anybody have any?
Rejection.
Hatred. But there is one solution. Anger. preface that by saying unrighteous anger. Self-pity. Yeah, that was actually prophetic and not a bondage statement. Loneliness. L-O-N-L-I. Okay. It's like holiness within a couple. What? How much was the degree? Well, not worth enough, I guess. It costs a lot, I guess, if the value is being questioned. False humility.
Judgment.
Judgments. Someone else's thoughts towards you.
Unteachable.
Others?
Rebellion.
What?
Stubbornness.
Rebellion? Just captured it. Yeah, we just got it. Hot off the press. What? Independence. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hopelessness and living a lie. Yeah, it's a good one. It's just another word. Others? I'm out of paper, but I still have a Sharpie. Witchcraft. Manipulation and control, all tied up into witchcraft, yeah. Addiction. Accuser of the brethren. Accusations. Unbelief.
Self-righteousness.
Self-righteousness. Religion.
Greed.
Strife. What do we do from here? We need to repent. We need to confess and we need to turn. For those of us who believe in Christ, this will be us stepping into that which we already believe. If you don't know Christ, it's an opportunity to make a decision. Acts 4:12 says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So I just want to give a moment for us to think about all these things that pop up over years of walking with the Lord, or just walking. You don't have to be a Christian to feel hopeless. Or to feel disappointment. But all these things overtake us and enslave us. And we don't even know it sometimes because it's our normal turned abnormal and then normalized. We put walls up all the time. I just think about going to the grocery store. My objective there isn't to witness. It's to get food and get out. I create walls just with time. So Father God, for these things that are in our lives, we confess our sins to you, Father God. We confess our disappointments, our feelings of hopelessness. Forgive us, Father God. We need to believe and we need to be delivered. I'm going to ask that if you feel like any of these mean something to you, that you step out either by standing, raising your hand, whatever it is, to take a step in faith that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So if anyone has felt that they've had judgments against them, that they have unbelief, that they quarrel, that they have accusations against them, that they deal with pride, that they're bound to the spirit of religion, if they've been disappointed, if you take the Lord's name in vain, if you have an addiction, if you are self-righteous, if you slander, if you have a disability, if you're rebellious and stubborn, if you deal with rejection, false humility, hypocrisy, racism, idolatry, being independent, quick to anger, have bitterness and jealousy in your life, fear, if you feel lonely, if you spend more time acquiring knowledge on Google than in the Word of God, if you're unteachable, you have hatred, hopelessness, living a lie, if you feel like you're promoting yourself, I believe that these things enslave us. And we're going to be delivered from them today in Jesus' name.
Josh, isolation?
Yeah. In isolation in Jesus' name. So if this is you, please stand as a sign, as a step. I'm going to read a series of scripture, and we'll be delivered in Jesus' name. Romans 6:6-7, we know that our old selves were crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Romans 6:18, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has been made free from the law of sin and death. John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. In the name of Jesus, any unclean spirit, unforgiveness, any spirits of being unteachable, hatred, self-pity, hopelessness, knowledge, greed, disobedience, sin, witchcraft, self-promotion, lust for power, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Hallelujah. If you deal with idols, fear, loneliness, independence, strife, anger, jealousy, or bitterness, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If you deal with slander, addiction, taking the Lord's name in vain, religion, disappointment, accusations, pride, quarrel, being quarrelsome, judgments and unbelief, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If you have a disability, if you deal with hypocrisy, rejection, unclean spirits, sexual immorality, rebellion, and stubbornness, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Father, we praise you. We lift your name on high. For you are our great deliverer, Father God. You have delivered us from all of this stuff, Father God. We are slaves to righteousness. We are no longer slaves to fear, to sin. Father God, you have set us free. Overcome us now by your Spirit, because that by which we are overcome, that is what overtakes us, Father God. And we thank you for your Spirit, Father God. We thank you for your convicting Spirit, Father God. I thank you for calling us in Jesus' name. And who the Son sets free is free indeed, Father God. And we will labor unto your kingdom, Father God, in complete freedom. For we know complete freedom because your Son is free, Father God, and has set us free from all the things that we have set up in our lives to enslave us to bondage, Father God. We thank you. 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 When we think about these things and that you still love us, Father God, it's for your because of your Son, Father God, whom you sent. Oh, Father God, we thank you. God, we thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, the walls are broken in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that we're able to experience true freedom. I don't know if I've ever experienced true freedom, Father. I thank you for true freedom from this day forward, Father God. True, true freedom. Just a couple things as I conclude here. That's all I have. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing your work. But I do know that it's not going to be easy. I do believe we were delivered and we're free right now. However, we're going to be faced with something shortly, probably. So how do you maintain freedom? Follow and obey the Spirit. It says in Galatians, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Father, like Patty said, I thank you for your joy, for this process is beautiful. I thank you for your refining fire. I thank you for your love. And I thank you that you've provided a solution for us, Father God, that has real impact to our life. So, Father God, I thank you that more than ever, we tune our ears and our heart towards heaven and we be receptive to the inklings of the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we may be led, which implies that we are obeying, which also implies we are hearing. So, Father God, I thank you for unblocking our ears like we spoke about a couple weeks ago so that we may hear what you're doing, that we may obey, that we may follow. And I just thank you so much. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Father God, I thank you for your work today. I thank you for your work today, Father God. I rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name that comes to rob, steal, and destroy. I pray for confusion in the enemy's camp, that all planned attacks will not prosper. I'm not saying life's going to be super easy and a bunch of warm fuzzies after this, but I am saying that we have a solution. And the solution is Christ, for whom the Son set free is free indeed. Free indeed. Thank you.
I just had this quick illustration, hope that we leave here with. Josh started off by talking about how the hogs are drawn to the food, and the food is within the walls, okay? At the end of the teaching and what he was praying, I had this picture because he said it's not going to be easy. Well, the reason why it's not going to be easy is the hogs remember where the food was, the old food, and they're going to be tend to be drawn back to that food. Mm. And what God showed me is that when we feel that we're being drawn back within those walls that are toppled, but the food is still there, that we are to turn to the Lord and taste that he is good.
That's good.
And remind ourselves that he and he alone taste good. So remember that when you're being drawn back. He's got more. He's got deliverance. All that he is good. His word is good. His presence is good. His life within us is good. Those are the things that are going to keep us from being drawn back to the stuff that we're set free from. Amen?
Thank you. That's so good.